Boy, it was sure good to be here and see that. Amen. Amen. I appreciate the singing tonight. When He calls me someday to my home far away, where His glory forever I'll share. Kind of goes along with my thoughts tonight. I'm glad we can share in His glory down here. Amen. And He wants to share His glory with us. So let's read some in Luke's Gospel right here, chapter number 9. Let's start up in verse number 23. The Bible here says, "And He said to them all." Glad when the Lord says something, He's got a word for everybody. Too many people try to take this book right here like a buffet and leave out some stuff that He's got to say to you. But everything that's written in here is for our benefit. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, follow me." We got a lot of folks don't mind carrying the cross on Sunday morning. Gets a little too heavy for them on Sunday night, I guess. Wednesday night. But He said, "Take it daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what's a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away?" A lot of y'all dream about winning that lottery. You see that big amount of money on the billboard out there? Man, if I just had that, boy, I'd have it made. You might not. You might not. What would advantage you if you had all that and you lost your soul? "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." And it came to pass, about an 8 days after these sayings, He took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. As He prayed, the fashion of His countenance was altered, and His raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with Him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of His decease, which He should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with Him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw His glory, and the two men that stood with Him. And it came to pass, as they departed from Him, Peter said unto Jesus, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for Thee, one for Moses, one for Elias," not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them. They feared as they entered into the cloud. There came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear Him." And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. They kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they'd seen. Father, we thank You again, Lord, for the day, God, for the honor and privilege of being a child of God, Lord. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for Your Word tonight, God. We pray, Lord, that God, You take control, Lord, of our mind, God, of our lips, God. We pray the Holy Ghost, Lord, might minister, God, Lord, through You tonight, God, and what You'd have us to say, Lord. We love You. God, we cast all our cares upon You tonight, knowing, Lord, God, You ever love us and care for us, Father. Have Your will Your way tonight, God. We'll give You all glory and praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. You'll notice, you can be seated now. You'll notice right here, this Bible right here, that Jesus said, "I'll tell you the truth, there'll be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." He was speaking of Peter and James and John right here and the experience that they were about to have upon the mountain right here of His glory right here. Can I tell you something tonight? As if you've ever tasted the glory of God, if you've ever experienced it, friend, it'll put a hunger down in you and a longing. Every time you come to the house of God, every time you fall on your knees in prayer, I guarantee you, you're looking for that glory. Amen? And there ain't nothing like it, friend. Hey, let me tell you something. I got a hunger down inside to experience the glory. We got just a little taste of His glory here Wednesday night. And let me tell you, His glory is available if you want it. Amen? Too often times we all come to the house of God, and when God wants to move upon us, when God wants to fill us, when God wants to use us, we begin to quench the Spirit of God. And let me tell you something, it grieves God when we do that. Amen? Well, I want to say something here tonight here about this kingdom right here. Jesus is the King of the kingdom. Amen? Let me tell you, the Bible teaches us in Luke 17 and 21 that the kingdom of God is within. Amen? Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he'll not see the kingdom of God. So a child of God has the kingdom living within him. And God wants to manifest Himself to us. Amen? In Romans chapter number 14, verse 17, the Bible says that the kingdom is not meat and drink, but it's peace, it's joy of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And God wants to manifest Himself in our lives, especially in times of worship. God manifested His glory to Moses up on the mountain when He gave him the law. God manifested His presence in the tabernacle. God manifested His glory and His presence in the temple. And let me say this, that we are the temple of God tonight. And God wants to manifest His glory within us and without us, that others about us might see Christ in us. And let me tell you tonight, there's something that we need in our life to experience the glory of God. We don't have to be just a spectator. We can be a participator. Amen? Well, I'm afraid the Baptist church is made up of probably about 99% spectators and no participators. Let me tell you, we ought to come to the house of God ready to go to worship. Amen. Can I tell you, when he revealed His glory in the tabernacle and in the temple, worship picked up. Go back and study it in your Bible. It made a difference. Let me tell you, God is not pleased when we come together to the house of God and have a dead worship service. Amen. But who's going to make it alive? He is. Through us. Through the temple. Amen. God works through His children in the day that we live. But now listen. Tonight I want you to notice something about Peter, James, and John. Jesus says right here, it came to pass in about 8 days after these sayings, He took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. Wonder tonight where He could take you at if He's willing to go. Think about it now. Where would the Lord take you to spiritually if you was willing to go? If you was available? Amen? You think about it. Experience the glory of the Lord's kingdom or the Lord's person. He wants us to have that great experience in our life. But I want you to see some things tonight. First of all, I want you to notice the requirements of seeing His glory. You'll back up right there in verse number 23. You'll find out right here there's some requirements that He's given. First of all, you got to be converted. You got to be right with God. There's too many religious folks today. Got that little title of religion upon them. Brother Ken was talking about praying right here. There was probably millions of Muslims today that's prayed, what, they pray 5 times a day? They fall on their face of praying, and they're not getting through. They don't know Jesus. Jesus is the way to the Father. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Let me tell you, you gotta be converted to ever experience the glory of God. The Holy Ghost has got to be living within you. Amen? There's too many folks today ain't got a conversion. They just got a little taste of religion. Notice this right here, friend. Not only that, the requirements to see His glory, you got to be converted, friend, but you got to have a cross. Jesus has got a cross for every child of God to bear. Amen? He said right here, take up your cross daily. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. A cross. You know, in the day that Jesus was speaking right here, the cross was an instrument of cruelty. It was an instrument of punishment. It was an instrument of shame, of guilt. But Jesus was a man of the cross. Jesus was going to the cross. He was on His way to go there to give His life a ransom for all. And let me tell you, it was a great burden for Christ to take the sins of the world upon Him. But He was willing to take it. To bear our sins. Are you willing to bear your cross tonight? Jesus has got a cross for you. He's got a cross for me. We ought to be seeking in our lives to carry our cross daily before our lives are spent. There's too many distractions in our lives. But God has required of us to carry a cross in our daily walk. Notice this in this requirements to see His glory. Not only conversion, but a cross, but a commitment. Commitment. I'm glad Jesus was committed to His cross. They didn't take the life of Christ. He laid His life down. The Romans was just an instrument in God's hand. The Jews was just an instrument in God's hand. Jesus, He gave His life a ransom for us. He was committed to His cross. We got a cross to bear that we need to be committed to. And let me say, if you're going to carry your cross, you got to be committed. You got to have your priorities right, in other words. Amen? We live in a day when people got their priorities in all different areas of life. Carnal things. But I'm speaking about spiritual things tonight. Spiritual, eternal things. Very important in our lives. We don't realize how many people is influenced by our lives, by our actions, by our deeds in our daily life. But people are watching. If you name the name of Christ, you got a label on you that people are looking at. They want to know. They're looking at your commitment. They're looking at your cross. They are looking at your statement of conversion to see if it's really real. Requirements to see His glory. Conversion, the cross, the commitment. But the cost. It'll cost you something. Amen. It'll cost you some temporal things. It'll cost you some carnal pleasures. But the rewards are eternal. Eternal. We better get our priorities right. Amen. Not only the requirements to see His glory, but the reasons for experiencing His glory. Jesus had a reason for taking Peter and James and John upon the mount. He took Peter and James and John with Him when Jairus' daughter was dead and He was about to raise them. In the Garden of Gethsemane, He took Peter and James and John a little further. I wonder, would you be willing to go further with God tonight? Think about this. He took them. We got to be a willing vessel for God to use us. We got to be like Isaiah said, "Hear my Lord, send me." Why are we so bullheaded? Why are we so stubborn? Is our commitment where it ought to be? The reasons for experiencing His glory. I want you to notice this. I believe that maybe one reason that God would have you and I to experience His glory would be to encourage us. Anybody in here ever get discouraged? Amen. We all do, don't we? We get discouraged. Anybody in here ever just dread coming to church? Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You get cold, you get indifferent, you get discouraged. And things are just dull. Amen. But let me tell you something. The very key to a service might be you. It might be you. God may be wanting to use you to get a service stirred up, to get things going at the house of God. And sometimes He'll just let you have an experience of seeing His glory to encourage you. Now, if we had a mountaintop experience every time we come to church, we'd probably get bored with that because we're human. Amen? We're human. Boy, I'm telling you though, when God moves in the house and the Spirit of God begins to flow from breast to breast, His glory just fills your soul, friend. There's nothing like it. There's nothing this world has to offer that'll, take its place. Nothing. Encourage. You see, we have to battle things in our life. This old flesh. This flesh. This flesh keeps us defeated half the time. Amen? This flesh loves the world. This flesh loves sin. Yes. Let me tell you, it's something, if we can keep our focus in the right things, if we can keep our flesh under subjection, if we can keep our fellowship with God open, our communion with God, then we can be encouraged instead of discouraged. But it's a battle. Let me tell you, there's reasons for us experiencing His glory. He wants to encourage you. But let me tell you something. When God moves upon you, don't quench Him. Don't quench Him. Let Him have His way and His will in your life. He wants to encourage. He wants to energize. He wants to empower us. He wants to excite us. I like an exciting church service. Amen? I like it when you don't know what God's going to do next. Amen? I like to see people that ain't never even stood up just stand up and say something for the Lord. I like to see people that ain't never shouted just have a spell and shout. Amen. You remember the first time you ever shouted in church? Those of you that have. Amen. It's something to get excited about. Amen. I mean, Jesus just... He just saved us. We don't have to die and go to hell. We don't have to die and go to hell. That's something that ought to excite us as a child of God, because we're going to go somewhere one of these days. We're going somewhere. Enriches us. The glory. It enriches us to experience His glory, to experience His fullness. It establishes our faith. Help strengthen our faith. And anytime we come to the house of God, we ought to come with an expectation. Expectation. Expecting God to do something. Too often we come to church just wanting to get our hour or so in. Well, I don't want the preacher to call me. I'm going to go to church tonight, I guess. He'll call me to see what's wrong. Lord, help us. We ought to be excited about going to church. There ought to be a burning desire in our heart to make it to the house of God and experience His glory once again in our life. The requirements to see His glory, the reasons for experiencing His glory, but the road to see His glory. You see, when He took Peter and John and James, they went up into a mountain. Any of you ever climbed a mountain? I ain't really climbed a big mountain, but I've been up some pretty steep hills. Get tired. Amen. Remember one time Jamie and Amy, years ago, they left a couple of bicycles at the house. One evening I decided, well, I'm going to ride me a bicycle. I ain't rode one in 30 years. So I got on that thing and I went out to the four-way. It was level this way and kind of level this way. This way was downhill. So that's the way I decided I'd go. Man, I hit that thing, buddy. I was running 50 miles an hour down through there, and I made it way down through the holler over there and sort of going up the next hill. It was getting steep. I decided, well, it's time to go back. And the only problem, though, when I was going back, I had that big hill to climb. And I was nearly dead the time I got to the top. But let me tell you, the road to see His glory, there's a necessary path. It was up to the mountain. Jesus often went out to pray. He would get out alone somewhere. Let me tell you, on this pathway to His glory, there's some work. Amen? It's some work. I got to work on me. If I'm going to experience God's glory, there's some work I got to do. I'm the temple of God, the Bible teaches me. And I got to work to keep this thing cleaned up. If I want God to manifest His presence in me, then I got to present a clean vessel to Him. Amen. I find oftentimes sin in my life on Saturday night, on Sunday morning, before I come to the house of God, I want a clean heart and I want a right spirit before I get here. Otherwise, I'm going to be a hindrance instead of a help. And it'd do us all good just to acknowledge the fact that there's none good, no, not one. We've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. If a man says he has no sin, he's a liar. They went up. It was work. I'm sure that climbing that mountain, they got a little weary heading up because when they got there, they were tired and ready to go to sleep. But when all is said and done, it's worth it. It's worth it. There's some work. You'll get weary on your journey sometimes. But if you make it to the mountaintop, experience His glory, it'll be worth it all. It'll be worth the trip. Amen. And you can be blessed and you can be a blessing. Now, notice this too, not only a necessary path, but it was necessary for them to be present. Amen. How many blessings do you reckon we've ever missed that God had for us because we wasn't there? Amen. Amen. Boy, I tell you, folks have been talking about last Wednesday night. It was a blessing to be at the house of God, to see God move. You ought to have been here. If you wasn't here, you ought to have been here. You ever felt about this tall when you laid out of church and then you come back and bust, you ought to have been here Sunday, man. You ought to have seen, boy, I tell you what, it was wonderful. When you're just too sorry. Lazy. God help us. Presence. They were present. They were available. They were willing. Amen. Not only necessary path, necessary presence, but there was some necessary prayer. You know, one of the biggest failures probably in our life today as a child of God is the failure to pray. Failure to pray. Praying one for another. Praying for ourselves. Praying for our pastor. Praying for our teachers, leadership. Even praying for sister churches. Amen. There's a great, great need for prayer. Jesus thought it was necessary to pray. Jesus oftentimes went out alone Himself and prayed. The Son of God praying to His Father in heaven. If Jesus saw a need to pray, why in the world don't we see a need to pray? We're missing great blessings in our life because we fail to pray. Let me tell you something right here. As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. Did you know your altar can alter you? Amen. The use of an altar. You ought to have a place that you pray. I can get no amens right there. We ought to have a pattern in our life and a place in our life where we commune with God. He's given us that honor. He's given us that privilege. He calls us to prayer, to talk to Him. And let me tell you, it will alter your life. Hey, anytime, anything that will bring us closer to God and a closer communion with God. And He wants to hear from us. He said, call upon Me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I remember when I first got saved and got me a Bible and didn't know a thing in the world about the Word of God. And somebody had told me, said, well, pray. Study and read you something, then pray and ask God to show you something. And I remember the first time I tried that, Brother Lee. I was reading them something in the book of John. I remember that. Came something I don't know, Bible was just foreign to me at the time. And I prayed. I asked God, give me some light. Show me something right here, Lord. What? And when He did, Brother Lee, I mean, it just thrilled my soul that God had heard my prayer and gave me some light of what I just read. He wants to hear from us. He wants to help us. He wants to bless. And He wants us to be a blessing. Communion with God. Let me tell you, it'll change your countenance just like it did Jesus. A closer walk with Christ. When we're in fellowship with God, when we're right with God, it'll change our attitude. I believe it'll make you even look different. Amen? You know what you can do? I'll tell you what to do. Go home tonight and look in the mirror. Just get you a mirror and take a good look at your mug. Amen? And just ask yourself, why are you looking? Am I right with God? God, am I just exactly where You want me to be in fellowship with You? And I believe your countenance will tell on you. Amen? It'll tell on you. It'll change your closeness to God. We ought to have a desire to be close to Him. It'll even change your clothing. Amen? Jesus' raiment became white and glistening. I believe when you get right with God, you'll want to dress like godly people. Amen? Amen? Well, listen. The requirements to see His glory, the reasons for experiencing His glory, the road to see His glory. But last of this, the revealing of His glory. Notice something right here in verse number 32. Well, let's read number 29 and go back and catch something right here. It says, and as He prayed, speaking of Jesus, the fashion of His countenance was altered, His raiment was white and glistening, and behold, there talked with Him two men, which were Moses and Elias. Boy, what an experience this was. For Jesus to take on the glory that He once laid down to come into this old world. For Him to be shown here in His glory as He had with the Father. And to have Moses, the giver of the law, and Elijah, the great prophet, to be in the presence. And notice what it says then. And behold, there talked with Him two men which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of His decease, which He should accomplish at Jerusalem. But now I want you to know this revealing. The revealing of His glory. But, oh my, look what happens now. But Peter, and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw His glory. Wake up, church. Wake up. Notice right here, they missed something that was real important that Christ had for them. But they were asleep. How many times, I wonder, has God give you, pastor, a great message, a good word for you, and you ain't paying no attention to Him? Had your mind on things of the world? In other words, you just, I don't know, preoccupied with something else. Let me tell you, it's very important every time the man of God is studied and prayed and gets up and gets in this book right here preaching, it's very important that you be attentive. He picks Peter, and he picks James, and he picks John to take them up on the mount that they might, hey, see His glory and experience His glory. But they fell asleep, just like they did at the garden. When they went a little further in, they fell asleep there. Be careful, folks. You better wake up. Time's getting short. They missed something very important. They missed a conversation. When a man gets up with God on him, the Holy Ghost begins to move, that's the time to be listening. That's the time to be praying. That's the time to have a great expectation of what God's trying to do, what He's saying. They missed the conversation. It was a conversation about Calvary. It was a conversation about the cross. It was a conversation about the Christ who would go there and give His life a ransom for the whole world. They were asleep. There's a lot of churches in our day that's asleep. They're not concerned about Calvary anymore. That's an old message. They're not concerned about their cross. They don't even realize that they've got a cross to bear. Non-concern. The commitment. When Jesus took them, they were committed to climb the mountain and get there. But they missed out on part of the glory. Now, not only did they miss something important, the mistake spoken by Peter. When they woke up, they saw His glory and two men that stood with Him. And it came to pass as they departed from Him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Anytime you get around Jesus, it's good to be there. Amen. Anytime you get around the glory, it's sure good to be there. And then he goes on and says, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias, not knowing what he said. Let me tell you something. God won't share His glory with anybody. God sent Jesus into this world, took upon Himself the form of a servant made in the likeness of men. He humbled Himself to the death of the cross. God has highly exalted Him, given Him a name that's above every name. And He'll not share that glory with anybody else. It belongs to Jesus. Amen. Let me tell you something. I don't want any glory for myself. Brother Ken, I know your heart. I know you don't want any glory. But to Him be the glory. To Him be all the glory. Without Him, we can do nothing. Nothing. I guess he decided he'd need to say something, I guess. But he missed it. Amen. If he'd have just been bragging on Jesus, he'd have done well. Anytime we stand up, we better be bragging on Jesus. Amen. Amen. The mistake spoken by Peter, but lastly, a message spoken by the Father. There, while he thus spake, while Peter was uttering some words he shouldn't have been saying, came a cloud, overshadowed them, they feared as they entered into the cloud. There came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear Him. See, it doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what you say. But it matters what God says. It matters what this book says right here. That's why we use King James Bible. It's the right word. It's a good word. It's infallible. It's inerrant. It's inspired. And we ought to come to church, to the house of God, looking to hear from Him. Not coming to hear from man. We ought to come to hear from God. And I hope, if you've never experienced the glory, I'm talking about a fullness of the Holy Ghost and the glory filling your soul, I challenge you to get right with God and seek His glory. It's going to be some uphill things that you're going to have to work on. This old flesh. And the sins and things that will beset you on that road. But if you'll come to the house of God ready, prepared, you can experience His glory. And God will do great and marvelous things with His people. Amen. I appreciate you being here tonight. I wonder tonight, I feel like we ought to have an altar call. So, Sister Cheryl, would you come to the piano? Wonder tonight,